This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got lots to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We've got your phone calls. 888-302-3684 is our number. You can call us with any question you'd like to pose about medicine or nutrition. All subjects are grist for the mill. 888-302-3684. And we got lots of stories to cover because there's been lots of news on the medical front this week, and that's what this program's all about. We boil it down in terms that are highly entertaining and understandable. And sometimes we take some of the stories that are dumbed down by mainstream media, and we do a deep dive and explain what's going on behind the lurid headlines. 888-302-3684 is our number. And before we get to some of the important news stories of the week, I'd like to share with you an article that I came across by a medical student. And it is a sad commentary on the state of medicine in America today. It's entitled, "A Star Medical Student Feels Like He Made a Terrible Decision." And bear with me because I'm going to read some excerpts from this. But it's a very telling commentary on what's happening to the art and science of medicine in America. It is February of our last few months of clinical rotations. I am a rising fourth-year medical student at a well-known East Coast institution with a not-so-bad track record, I guess you could say. I scored in the top percentile for the Step 1 exams, honored my third-year rotations, and have comments from attendings about how I'm destined to succeed in this career. One might think that at this point in my life I should feel confident, well-accomplished, and hopeful for the future. In the last month, there's been a lot of talk about residency and deciding on a specialty. To me, this meant finally looking back onto my life, my experiences, and all that medicine has meant for me. And I can't help but feel that I have made a terrible, terrible decision. I've always dreaded but predicted this outcome for me in medicine. I know I can make fickle decisions. I didn't think medicine was one of them. I was an extremely diligent student for all of my life. I follow and play by rules very well, like most others in this field. A lover of biology since grade school, I never saw another path for myself. Now, I'm almost there. I am almost a doctor. I stand at the intersection of many specialties. The difficulties in this choice tell me that I'm probably not fit, ultimately, for a career in medicine. I learned that the sacrifices to become a doctor continue into the later years of this career. I learned that there's no such thing as job stability. Residency and fellowship are each opportunities to get utterly uprooted from your life. I learned that internists, the quintessential doctor that I grew up admiring, do not have my dream job. I learned that too often, doctors in general have to fight the broken system, but internists especially. Broken patients, broken insurance, a broken healthcare compensation system that prioritizes crisis intervention and does not pay doctors to use their intelligence, skills, empathy, and sense of humanity to really care for patients. And that brings me to my next point, empathy. I entered medical school so that I can care for others and make connections with complete strangers in the most vulnerable time of their life. I learned that empathy in general is not rewarded in medicine. On Rounds, I learned that empathy in a person's humanity and suffering is not spoken about. But we will talk about the patient's rise in creatinine or low levels of sodium and so on. And so medical students quickly learn how to play this game. We enter noble, we leave jaded, we leave seeing that the smart move is to get out of it. The smartest of the smartest, the ones lucky enough to have a choice, go into fields where they limit their involvement with patients. Dermatology, radiology, ophthalmology, anesthesiology. It begs the question, why are these the happiest, the most high-salaried, and patient-limited specialties? So, the winning card of this game was flashed to me early in my third year of medical training. I saw that the internist can stay up all night caring for the ICU patient on the brink of death and have half the job satisfaction and half the pay of the dermatologist who sleeps in on Saturdays and refuses to come in for an urgent derm consult. Compensation shouldn't be the end-all, but numbers tell you how much society values you. And when this doctor-to-be sees that the value brought individuals into medicine have seemingly vanished and is not talked about anymore after the interview to get into medical school, he feels like he's been completely duped. Gone like smoke, like we're all in some sort of circus funhouse, except it's not fun. It's jarring, scary, disappointing, and absolutely depressing. But more than being afraid for myself, I'm scared for our future doctors because I know I am not the only one that feels this way. That's a sad essay from an anonymous medical student on the brink of embarking on his medical career. Very, very scary. And here's a scary statistic to append to that. We are losing an entire medical school full of physicians every year. That would be 150 to 200 physicians, right? Each medical school labors to produce a class of medical graduates who can go into the field of medicine and replenish the ranks of retiring physicians. That's the idea. We're losing an entire medical school of physicians every year to suicide. That means hundreds of doctors. This is a person who's writing an article on the subject. She writes, both men I dated in medical school died by suicide. In my small town, we lost 8 physicians to suicide, 3 within 18 months. So it's a huge public health issue, not just for physicians, because more than 1 million Americans lose their physicians to suicide every year. So we really have to take this seriously. If not for the individual, the public health implications of losing that many physicians when we already have a physician shortage. And this plugs me into my own experience in my medical training. I loved my medical training. I really delighted in being a physician in training in a major urban hospital here in New York, seeing all kinds of horrendous medical conditions, and the hours were completely exhausting and the stresses were enormous, but it was exciting. It was really energizing, and it was the most intense learning experience that I've ever experienced in my life. And we were confronted with all kinds of physical challenges. Our stamina was stretched to the max, and our intellectual capabilities were really, really challenged day in and day out. But in the end, I made a decision after my medical training that I would go into integrative medicine, because the prospect of being a fireman, rushing to emergencies, putting out fires, treating patients in crisis intervention, perhaps in some cases saving lives, but in many cases just presiding over the horrible demise of very sick patients. This ultimately didn't appeal to me for a 30 or 40 year career choice. And ultimately, I decided to go into the field of integrative medicine, which is based largely on prevention, on dealing with patients with chronic problems maybe after they've been discharged from the hospital, who are placed on medications, given a lifelong sentence of depending on medications creating horrendous side effects. And this has been my career direction. And I might propose to this disillusioned young medical student that this would be an option. And it is for so many young physicians these days. The field of integrative medicine has grown by leaps and bounds since I graduated medical school. I graduated in a class of over 200 medical students, and I think only two of us pursued a career in integrative medicine. These days, there are literally hundreds of integrative physicians here in New York City. And when I first began practice, well, there was Dr. Atkins and a few others like him, but very, very few role models to whose work was worth emulating or whose careers would provide a path towards more satisfaction and gratification and less burnout and less disillusionment with the medical system as it's currently set up. So it's a sad situation because medicine has been so routinized. It's been so regimented. It's been so dehumanized, and the prospect of it getting worse is very real because of computerized medical records, because of less and less time for doctors to interact with patients, because of perverse incentives vis-a-vis insurance that pays little for doctors to spend time talking to patients and rewards high-tech, expensive procedures. These are some of the challenges that we face in the field of medicine today. And many young medical students are becoming disillusioned. They want to drop out. And many gifted youngsters, people who ordinarily would have gravitated towards a medical career, are going towards other careers that are more financially rewarding, that are less emotionally draining. And this is a very, very sad state of affairs for not just future doctors, but for Americans in general, who depend on a cadre of well-trained, motivated, compassionate physicians to deliver their medical care going forward. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite your phone calls. We'd love to hear from you on this weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on intelligent medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about intelligent medicine. If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease of 10% or more in systolic and diastolic blood pressure. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. Write that number down. Or, hey, maybe you're just not inclined to call right now. That's okay. You can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. And when we get your question, well, we won't send you back an answer, but we will use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is an opportunity for you to get your question fielded by yours truly, plus Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. We do a weekly duet answering your questions, and you can find the podcasts at drhoffman.com. Quite entertaining and informative. All right. One of the treatments for knee osteoarthritis, what a common problem. It's almost ubiquitous. Virtually everyone at some point or another experiences knee pain. And I'm fortunate enough to be at the tender age of 63, not someone who suffers from chronic knee pain. I really consider it a blessing because it is so common to suffer from knee pain. Perhaps my lack of knee pain is due to the fact that I've been taking glucosamine plus chondroitin for years now. And I don't take it because I have knee pain. I take it to prevent knee pain, to nourish the cartilage and the synovial membrane in my joints. And the knees are particularly vulnerable to degradation and destruction of collagen. So perhaps it is worthwhile to adopt a preventive strategy before you get too far down the line. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm pre-op for knee surgery. Do you think glucosamine chondroitin will help? And I got to say, that's a tall order, because once all that, you know, it's bone on bone and the cartilage is all gone, you know, how are you going to take an oral pill and grow a whole new cartilage in your knee? That's asking a little too much. But okay, so they did a study comparing glucosamine plus chondroitin to the most popular non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, celecoxib, for knee osteoarthritis pain. And this drug is pitched as the ultimate treatment for knee osteoarthritis. It's anti-inflammatory. And here's what they found. They found that there was no difference between the group that got glucosamine with chondroitin. The recipe was glucosamine hydrochloride, 500 milligrams, plus chondroitin sulfate, 400 milligrams, 1-3 times daily, which is standard dose for glucosamine with chondroitin, plus a daily dose of celecoxib, 200 milligrams daily, for 6 months. And what they found was there was absolutely no difference. Short-term, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug was more effective, but long-term, the results were equivalent. So pretty startling vindication for glucosamine plus chondroitin. Some studies show it doesn't work, but this is a big study showing that it is equally effective. And how about those hyaluronic acid injections for knee osteoarthritis, where they shoot some viscous material in your knee? These treatments are expensive and their efficacy is controversial. In a new study, it suggested that a placebo effect is largely responsible for the purported benefits of hyaluronic acid injections for knee osteoarthritis. So maybe, just maybe, glucosamine plus chondroitin trumps injections. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And you can call us at 888-302-3684, 888-302-3684 for questions. How do you keep your brain sharp? Well, some people view the brain as if it were a flabby muscle that requires exercise on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about physical exercise, which actually has demonstrable effects in terms of staving off dementia. And that may be due to the fact that physical exercise does involve the brain. The brain has major areas that are devoted to motor activities and coordination and balance. And so physical exercise helps, not to mention the fact that when you exercise, you may oxygenate your brain. You may promote brain circulation. Exercise also increases the levels of something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. BDNF is like Miracle-Gro for brain cells. It actually helps brain cells repair and regrow and proliferate. So physical exercise, yeah, that's one thing. But what about mental exercise, like brain teasers, you know, New York Times crossword puzzle, or specific brain training routines, among which lumosity is foremost in terms of programs to sharpen cognitive performance and stave off cognitive decline? Well, lumosity has recently been slapped by the Federal Trade Commission. They've been ordered to pay a $2 million fine to settle FTC deceptive advertising charges for its brain training program. And here's what they say. The creators and marketers of the Lumosity brain training program have agreed to settle Federal Trade Commission charges, alleging that they deceived consumers with unfounded claims that Lumosity games can help users perform better at work and in school and reduce or delay cognitive impairment associated with age and other serious health conditions. You see, the federal government, in the person of the Federal Trade Commission, the regulatory agency that governs advertising behavior, has said that these claims are overreaching, if not fraudulent. As part of the settlement, Lumos Labs, the company behind Lumosity, will pay $2 million in redress and will notify subscribers of the FTC action, that's embarrassing, and provide them with an easy way to cancel their auto renewals to avoid future billing. I guess they send out a series of games, or they provide you with iPad or computer-based materials so that you can work through these puzzles and games. According to the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection, they say, quote, Lumosity preyed on customers' fears about age-related cognitive decline, suggesting their games could stave off memory loss, dementia, and even Alzheimer's disease. And Lumosity simply did not have the science to back up its ads. The company advertised that training on these games for 10 to 15 minutes, three or four times a week, could help users achieve, quote, their full potential in every aspect of life. They've been widely promoted through TV and radio advertisements. Also, Lumosity used Google AdWords to drive traffic to the website, purchasing hundreds of keywords related to memory, cognition, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease, according to the complaint. And that's not cool because their product didn't deliver. So what's the deal here? Is the FTC right? Are these brain games worthless? All right. Here's a study that may shed light on that particular contention. Headline is, Sharp Mind in Midlife Doesn't Avert Alzheimer Pathology. But there's a caveat here. In a general elderly population without dementia, an enriched cognitive lifestyle during middle age, in other words, not just brain games, but, you know, whatever, intellectual stimulation, reading, you know, going to plays, whatever you do to stimulate your brain. An enriched cognitive lifestyle during middle age did not slow the rate of neurodegenerative changes leading to Alzheimer's disease, according to a study. So in other words, what they're saying is, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease, okay, knock yourself out, learn, take, courses at your local community college. Is not going to affect your risk of getting Alzheimer's disease. But, Not that it's bad, it's good, you know, do it, knock yourself out. It'll improve your quality of life. But if you do it in the hopes of staving off Alzheimer's disease, it will make zero difference. But here's the caveat. There are certain people who have a gene. It's measurable. It can be checked via a blood test. It's called APOE4. It is a gene highly associated with Alzheimer's disease. People who have a double hit on this gene have a dramatically higher risk of getting this. I don't even like to do the test because what are you going to do? Tell a person you're going to get Alzheimer's disease? That's a scary prospect. Very few people can handle that information. Nonetheless, you can test for it. And what they found is that among those who possess the APOE4 gene, carriers who had 14 or more years of education, those who continued to learn at midlife by using a computer. Hey, folks, you guys over 60, you're not using a computer. I really think your brain is going to turn to mush, but, you know, that's my bias. Reading books and magazines and playing games, they showed lower amyloid burdens. Amyloid is the gunk that clogs up your brain when you have Alzheimer's, compared with similar participants with less cognitively active habits. So they're saying that for the lion's share of the population, 95% of people who don't have APOE4, all that brain training, mental gymnastics, challenging intellectual activities, it's not going to make a difference. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Other factors involved. It's not about exercising your brain muscles. But for those with APOE4, that critical minority, brain stimulation does make a difference. So in a sense, the FTC folks, they're right and they're wrong. In general, these Lumosity games may make little difference for the overall population. But for those in that small subset highly prone to Alzheimer's disease, those activities can help at least to partially forestall the loss of mental competence. All right, 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Roger in Westbury, New York. How you doing, Roger?
Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. So,
sure.
I see you're part of this Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, so, you can check that out. Go to my website and there's a link.
So here's my question. I was listening to one of the lecturers the other day talking about diabetes, and the advice that he gave seemed completely contrary to what you always said. He was saying load up on the carbohydrates, the rice, the pasta, the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the oil, stay away from the meat, stay away from...
Do you recall who that was in particular?
I'd have to look it up. I could, you know, I don't want to keep you on the phone.
It's
while
not
I'm
a problem.
It up.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know, these seminars, these summits, they're sort of a smorgasbord of experts. And I participated in that summit, but I don't necessarily have control over the content of all the speakers in that summit. And I think that person's dead wrong. I think that the science now supports the notion that carbohydrate restriction is the most beneficial way to treat type 2 diabetes and possibly also type 1 diabetes, although you have to be a little careful when you're using insulin. So, you know, there's some people who kind of are stuck in the old paradigm where they think it's fat and meat that create problems in general. And partly they come from a pre-existing ideology, almost, not from a scientific standpoint. They're vegetarians or vegans. And they look for whatever scientific evidence is around that can support that approach. And there are some scientific studies that show it's preferable not to eat a lot of animal fat. There's no question. But in the context of a diet where you restrict your carbs, animal fat from natural grass-fed sources is permissible and even beneficial, in my experience and in my opinion. So don't let that opinion deter you from following the correct approach. Do you have diabetes?
Pre-diabetes, so I want to make sure it doesn't progress.
Metabolic syndrome. What's your?
No, not metabolic syndrome. Just a high A1C. It's 5.9, and fasting glucose is 101. And I'm slender.
It's
and
a little high.
Eat a good diet. Yeah. So.
So you're what they call tofi. That's thin outside, fat inside. You have some of the metabolic characteristics metabolic syndrome. And, you know, so your best approach, and I mean, it really works, is to go on something like a paleo diet with lower carbohydrates, but you don't, you shouldn't be on a no carbohydrate diet because you're already thin. You just need to change your ratio. You need to be on, you know, maybe a 30 or 40% carbohydrate program with ample fats. You know, the remaining should be fat. I mean, should be healthy fats and protein. And, you know, of course, exercise is also the key to avoiding metabolic syndrome, but you're already there, you say, you're physically active.
I wouldn't say I'm certainly too thin. I probably could lose 5 or 6 pounds, but I thought it's something very interesting. See what you think about this. They say wait 3 hours after your last meal before you go to sleep and wait 12 hours from your last meal.
It's called intermittent fasting. It's called intermittent mini fast. And that really, what that does, it's interesting, it, you know, fasting, of course, is very, very difficult, and you know it's only for the most zealous. But you can accomplish sort of a mini fast on a daily basis by not eating after a certain time, and then getting up and, you know, contrary to the popular advice, instead of having a hearty breakfast right when you wake up, is extended a little longer. Have a brunch a little later, and you may have like, you know, 14, 16 hours of not eating. And what that does is sort of reboots the body's metabolic machinery. It even enhances immunity. And that's intermittent fasting, or IF, is a hot topic these days in nutrition. And it's one of the ways in which, and may even be, may even have the effect of prolonging life, having anti-aging effects, lengthening telomeres. So that's one of the ways in which you can incorporate some of the benefits of fasting without all that deprivation.
Thank you very much. You confirmed what I thought all along. I was very shocked when I listened to this. I said, what is this going? You know, is this really?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's as Mao Zedong says, you know, let 1,000 flowers bloom. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there, some of them are, you know, some of them are wrong, in my opinion. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Are you waking up each day to the life you have to live or to the life you want to live? Better health shouldn't be left to chance. Smart choices to living longer and stronger include making Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract a part of your daily routine. For years, medical researchers have recommended adding Kyolic to the diet as a powerful tool to enhancing overall heart and immune health. Recent clinical studies at UCLA Medical Center using Kyolic suggest that garlic may slow plaque formation in the arteries and support healthy cholesterol and homocysteine levels. Previous research also shows Kyolic may enhance your immune system defenses. Kyolic is organic, odorless, and the only antioxidant garlic supplement available worldwide. Maintaining a healthier you could extend your life. Your wellness begins with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com, that's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com, or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today.
Well, back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is the number for questions. We got a taker. We got Jim from Wyoming. How are you, Jim?
Hi, Doc. How are you today?
How you doing? Hey, you got a primary coming up in Wyoming, right?
In August, I think.
Oh, I thought it was coming up soon. All right, whatever.
No, we had caucuses and did all that stuff early, but we do have our primaries in August.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too late to make a difference, isn't it, after the convention?
Almost, yeah. And then we only have one delegate, so it's
It's kind of a
hardly impressive
unpopulous state. The delegate from the delegate from Wyoming,
right,
votes for John Wayne. Oh, wait a minute, he's dead. Okay, sorry.
Right.
Whatever.
enjoyed your dissertation last week on artificial sweeteners.
Thank you.
And my wife is very sensitive to artificial sweeteners, and she gets migraines.
Yeah.
And so I wondered about Super Beets.
Mm-hmm.
They do have artificial sweetener, and she didn't react very nicely to that. And I wondered if they might be receptive to producing an unsweetened version.
No, I'm not sure that there's an artificial sweetener. I think the sweetener is stevia in that product, if I'm not...
That's one of the ones that she reacts to.
Okay, so that's an unusual... stevia is only artificial in the sense that it's not a sugary sweetener, but it is a natural sweetener. And mm-hmm. so, you know, she may be one of these people who has a reaction to stevia. That's rare. I haven't seen that too much. But at least mm-hmm. stevia is not dangerous. It's not cancer-causing. It's not something that is associated with tumors or associated with neuroexcitation, like NutraSweet. NutraSweet is definitely associated with potential for brain problems because it's excitatory. It actually increases levels of neurotransmission in the brain. It lights up your brain, which is okay, right? You know, that hits the flavor center of your brain and the addictive center of your brain, but ultimately that sort of burns out your brain circuitry. Stevia is sort of a gentler action. It sort of acts on the tongue to simulate the taste of sugar, and is generally safe, although some people don't find a really satisfactory substitute for sugar because it's got a bitterness quotient. So it works best when combined with other types of sugar like trehalose. Now they got a product called Truvia, which has a minimal caloric impact, but it's, you know, some people are intolerant to it. You know, the other thing that happens when you take a nitric oxide enhancing product, and an example of which is Viagra, okay? I mean, the erectile dysfunction medication. There are many men who report that they get headaches when they take Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. And the reason is because it vasodilates. It actually opens up the blood vessels. And for some people, that prompts kind of a headachey kind of feeling. So when you take nitric oxide, you're going to open up the blood vessels. That's beneficial. It's not dangerous, but it can actually give people some like a kind of a dull headache mm-hmm. from taking that product. So I'm not sure it's the stevia causing that. Maybe, you know, it's the dietary nitrates that are causing that. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just some people don't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm. And I also wondered about the X stuff that they use in Clear and some gum products and stuff. Is that natural or is that artificial?
That is totally natural. Totally natural. It's derived from birch bark originally. And it's a natural sweetener, but it's not a dangerous sweetener. The one side effect of xylitol is you take a lot of xylitol, you know, say you decide, wow, I really love this xylitol gum. I'm going to chew up a whole pack today. Is you can get, a laxative effect. Well, for some people, that's actually a beneficial effect, but for others, it may be an unexpected surprise and not desirable. Okay. That can happen with xylitol, but xylitol in the Clear product, very safe. It's in the Spry Dental Defense. By the way, we did a podcast on that subject this week. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. We talked to Dr. John Peldiak about the benefits of xylitol for dental health, very, very protective against cavities and periodontal disease, and also about Clear for nasal, you know, chronic nasal problems, chronic sinusitis, asthma, ear infections. It's really fantastic. It's a great product. I rely on it with many of my patients, and they rave about it. So
okay. That's
fine. Fine to take. All right?
All right, sir. Thank you for the info.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for listening out there in Wyoming. You have a good day. All right. This item has to do with chronic male reproductive disorder symptoms, i.e. chronic prostatitis. And it turns out, according to studies, that the microbiome may be responsible for yet another thing. We know the microbiome is responsible for a lot of problems. Irritable bowel syndrome, it's responsible for weight gain, it's responsible for mood issues, it's responsible for allergies, on and on it goes. Well, it turns out that bacteria that can be beneficial to body processes such as digestion are known as part of the microbiome. But in individuals who have chronic prostatitis, bacteria, not necessarily bacteria in the prostate, but bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract, can result in chronic prostatitis. And ultimately, that chronic inflammation can lead to prostate cancer. Now, the interesting part about this is that these bacteria may be inherited. So we sometimes hear stories of, you know, my father had prostate cancer. Am I at risk for prostate cancer? Well, part of the reason you're at risk for prostate cancer may not be that there's a genetic influence that's your fate. It may be that you've inherited a bad microbiome from your father. And that's something that's modifiable. Your genes, less so, but your microbiome can be modified via changes in your diet, via probiotics, via certain types of beneficial fiber, via certain herbs that suppress the growth of harmful bacteria and encourage the growth of good bacteria. So the microbiome may play an even more key role in prostatitis in men. Interesting study out of the University of Missouri, Columbia. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.